before I report on the activities of the TNC since we last met in this format, let me convey my personal sympathy and that of the membership to the people in Asia and the Pacific who have been affected by recent natural disasters. Turning now to my report, since I last reported to the General Council in July, work in the DDA negotiations has been taken up again at the level of the negotiating groups following the summer break. You will recall that on September 22nd, the TNC held an informal meeting to consider the next steps in the DDA over the coming months, as well as my report to the G20 leaders meeting in Pittsburgh, in light of developments that had emerged from the leaders meeting in L'Aquila before the summer break and the informal meetings of ministers in Delhi after the summer break. At the informal TNC meeting, after consultations led by chairs in their respective negotiating groups and my own consultations, we devised a comprehensive, structured work program for the next 3 months, which included participation of a senior official each month in October, November, and December. On that occasion, many of you stressed that as good as the work program may be, it would not be sufficient to lead to results without the political engagement and hard bargaining that needs to take place among the members. And that engagement was needed at all levels, multilaterally, plurilaterally, bilaterally. My message to G20 leaders in Pittsburgh was that delegations in Geneva had done what had been asked of them. The road had been mapped out, but still needed to be walked. And in my intervention, I pointed out to leaders that there was a gap between what they say and where they were on questions of containing protectionism and concluding the round. And I urged them to address seriously this gap and give negotiators clear instructions that concluding the round remained a priority for them if 2010 was to be doable, which I still think it is. The statement of the leaders of the G20 reaffirmed their commitment to seeking a conclusion to the round in 2010, consistent with the mandate and based on the progress already achieved, including in regard to modalities. They endorsed the work program we developed and instructed their ministers to take stock of the situation no later than early next year, taking into account the results we would have achieved by then, and they pledged to remain engaged and review progress in the negotiations during their next meeting. Allow me also to briefly update you on my recent contact with ministers responsible for finance and development during the recent IMF World Bank annual meeting in Istanbul and report to you on the LDC's trade ministers meeting in Dar es Salaam, from which we returned in Sunday. In Istanbul, I stressed that international trade would be key to the recovery and that a conclusion of the round can yield a double dividend. On the one hand, it can play the role of a global stimulus package. On the other hand, it can effectively act as a structural reform package, which we need for growth. I stress that it was the most effective way of further constraining protectionist pressures and contributing to growth, and I also stress the importance of keeping an eye on trade finance and the need to recapitalize regional development banks, given their role in helping the poorest and weakest countries weather the crisis, together with the World Bank and its different institutions. The message coming from the LDC ministerial meeting in Dar es Salaam is one of urgency in concluding the round and delivering on the development promises it contains, many of which are of specific interest to the poorest countries in this organization. At the conference organized last week in Washington by the Coalition of Services Industry, I also had the opportunity to meet with a number of ministers, and they signaled a serious engagement reflecting their leaders' commitment in the G20. Next week, together with a number of you, I'll be traveling to the African Trade Ministers meeting in Cairo, and I'm convinced that this will be another important opportunity to discuss the importance of keeping trade open and concluding the round to Africa. We are now 1 month into the work program we devised collectively to be able to reach a successful conclusion by autumn. I think it would be fair to say that we have seen some progress in areas such as trade facilitation, where members came well prepared and worked hard on draft textual proposals. I also think that we have seen serious engagement by members on templates and scheduling in agriculture as well as in NAMA. And a number of members have also engaged in some bilateral consultation. But I also believe that it will be difficult to get to OTAN without a serious acceleration of the pace. We need to see real negotiations emerge, not only informal consultations and discussions, but real exchanges among members. We need to do so in a manner which is inclusive and leaves no interest behind. We need to ensure greater transparency over bilateral discussions so that every member feels it is part of an overall process. A number of senior officials are in Geneva this week, and I think this is an important factor in joining up the dots of the negotiation and ensuring that capitals remain directly engaged in the process. But whether through senior officials or through Geneva negotiators, the key is now to walk the talk. Let me mention, in addition to chairs, consultations, and in addition to small group meetings taking place this week, I will also hold consultations on the key issues of agriculture, NAMA, and services, together with the respective chairs in variable geometry, with a view to providing members with avenues for engagement. I will also be meeting with a number of senior officials and delegations which are in town this week. I intend to hold a green room meeting on Thursday afternoon and a full transparency session on Friday morning in the form of an informal TNC to ensure transparency and inclusiveness. When this week is over, I hope we will have a better sense of the work ahead of us in November, so that the next week of negotiations, benefiting from presence of senior officials in Geneva in November, can register a qualitative change in the negotiating dynamics and progress on substance. Let me now say a few words on the issue of monitoring of trade and trade-related measures adopted by members in the context of the crisis. As you know, we've been regularly providing you with updates on this matter, the last one in July 2009, and a G20 specific one in September 2009. We are currently in the process of preparing the next report to the EPRB with the annual overview of developments in the trading system called for in the TPR mandate. And I intend to finalize this annual report in time for circulation ahead of the ministerial conference, for which I believe it would be a useful background document. Let me also provide you with a brief update of my consultations on the issues of GI extension and the relationship between the TRIPS agreement and the CBD, which I hold under the mandate given to me at the Hong Kong Ministerial. As foreshadowed at the July General Council meeting, I held another round of consultations on the 8th of October with the same group of delegations, but with a slight adaptation of the methodology. I invited delegations to submit suggested draft questions on the two topics, both TRIPS CBD and GI extension, which could help guide the discussions. We received questions on both topics from all perspectives in the debate. The questions have been ordered in clusters of issues. The October meeting addressed the first two clusters of each topic. In particular, on TRIPS CBD, the discussion centered around the legal character of misappropriation and the measures other than the disclosure requirement to address misappropriation and benefit sharing. On GI extension, the discussion centered on the differences between protection under Article 22 and Article 23 of TRIPS, as well as on the effect of higher protection to additional products. The discussion was highly technical and detailed. However, differences still remain on the substance, hence the main observations in my report to the General Council of July 28 remain valid, as does the longer description of the state of play that I made during the open-ended briefing at the end of July. We are now working on the schedule for the next round of consultations, which I will expect will move through the remaining clusters of the questions that delegations have submitted. Finally, I would like to briefly look ahead to the next 40 days or so before the opening session of MC7. I know that the General Council Chairman will provide you with a comprehensive overview of his recent consultations on various aspects of the conference, and I would like in advance to thank him for his untiring efforts towards ensuring that we have a constructive, efficient, and transparent meeting. This ministerial conference will be a different sort of gathering of ministers compared to a large-scale, week-long and CinemaScope events that have taken place since 1998. For a start, this ministerial meeting, as we established a long time ago, is on a separate track from the ongoing Doha Round negotiations. In other words, this means that it will not be a DDA negotiating meeting. it's our hope that ministers will come to Geneva to address and interact on a few key themes regarding the WTO and the multilateral trading system, the big picture, so to say. And it is time that ministers are given an opportunity to engage in a more wide-ranging systemic debate and to provide the WTO with guidance for the next few years. However, and there still seems to be some confusion on this point, this doesn't mean that minister statements or indeed their discussions cannot address the issue of the round or indeed specific negotiations. On the contrary, it would seem rather odd if the elephant in the room remained nameless. This is why discussion of the round is specifically foreseen in themes for the working sessions. And in this specific context, I think that MC7 represents an important platform for ministers to send a strong signal of commitment to concluding the round. So with a bit more than 40 days and the clock ticking, I think it's high time we rolled up our sleeves and get down to business, and that concludes my report today, Mr. Chairman.